Morning. It is good to be back home. Had a wonderful weekend last weekend at Fried Hardeman. Got to see some of our young folks there at Making Music and enjoyed that a great deal. Seeing Jonah and Courtney, and I have to give a special mention of Tommy, who directed it and did an exceptional job. Enjoyed that, and wonderful to see all those wonderful kids and lives dedicated to Christ. It's good to be home, though. It's always good to be here with the family at Cary. It's always good to be blessed by your love and your care and your concern. Even better to be here this morning in the presence of God, to worship Him, sing praises to His name, come before His great throne and in prayer to study His words. Hope that you'll join me in that this morning. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 19. It has already been made clear to me that I can't possibly this morning do as good as Johnny. But I'm going to do my very best to try to live up to his standard. Beginning with verse 19. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Through Him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet He has now reconciled you in His fleshly body through death, in order to present you before Him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. If indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. You know, Jesus physically died on the cross, because His hands and His feet were nailed to that wooden cross. And He hung there that day, suspended between heaven and earth, and died. This is you and I, and all those before us have seen death. Jesus Christ saw death on the cross. But many deaths in this world have very little meaning, yet Jesus died to make peace. To make peace through His blood on that cross that dark Friday. He died to reconcile you, even though you, as Paul told the Colossians, even though you were alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds. It is the same as when Paul said to the Romans in Romans chapter 5, that while we were yet sinners, that's what that is, alienated, engaged in unrighteous deeds, while you were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. He sacrificed His fleshly body in order to present you before Him holy and blameless and beyond reproach, just as He was in His life upon this earth. When Jesus bore His cross, His focus was not upon Himself. He was looking at everyone but Himself. He had already sacrificed self when He went to the cross. He bore the cross because He loved you. Because He wanted you to spend eternity with Him. He wanted you more than He wanted to save His own life. How many people in this world can you say that about? That they want you more than their own life? Jesus did. Jesus wanted you. It may be in the worst moment, in the most difficult moment of the cross, and it wasn't necessarily, I don't think, the nails, and I don't think it was the whips, and I don't think it was the moment in which Jesus Christ became everything. Most difficult moment was that moment of sin. And He took every sin that I know I've committed. God placed them upon Him. And He became the very thing He never was. Never wanted to be. Never could be. But He took mine. Paul would say it like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, that God made Him who knew sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. The cross Jesus bore says something to us. Says something to us about the cross that He wants us to bear. Mark chapter 8, verse 34 says, Jesus says, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Luke 14, 27, He says, whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Remember that. That's Jesus Christ saying that. If I will not take up my cross, if I will not carry that cross, I cannot be His disciple. So I must take a cross. Sometimes we use that. We throw that term around, don't we? Oh, that's my cross to bear. Folks, the cross that we have to bear has nothing to do with some kind of difficulty you suffer in this life. Or a person like me that you have to put up with on a daily basis, right? Has nothing to do with that. The cross Jesus calls you far more. But why does Jesus give us a cross to bear? What purpose does being given a cross serve in my life? The cross we are called to bear is not that difficult life. It is a choice. See, a cross is always symbolic of death. It is a choice to die to something, as Jesus Christ died, so that we might live for something else, just as He was raised from the dead. To die to self, the world, and sin, in order that we might live in Christ Jesus. This cross also reminds us of the one who first bore the cross, and I think there's some things that we should be reminded of. Number one is that the cross reminds me of what Christ endured. The cross Jesus bore, He bore for me. He chose that cross and endured its shame. He endured its pain for my sake. John 15, verses 18 through 20, our Lord says, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. And if you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. Christ asked nothing of me. He asked me to endure nothing that He Himself has not already endured. That He Himself has not already done. He is the Master. This morning I am the slave. Why in the world would I think that I should have it any easier than Him? The cross He gives me helps me to understand how much He endured for my sake. If I endure shame, He endured far more. If I endure pain, He endured far more. If I am submitting to God's will, if I yield to His will, He yielded to the Father's far more. Bearing a cross means believing the heavenly truth rather than the worldly lie. Submitting to God's will rather than following my own. Bearing a cross means having God's eternal approval of my actions and my beliefs rather than the shallow and fleeting approval of men. Paul says to the Galatians in chapter 6 and verse 14, he says, but may it never be that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. When I remember what He did, everything I do seems so small. How can I ever get a big head when I realize what all has been done for me that I couldn't do for myself? And how much more the Lord did than I can ever do. Second,
My cross reminds me that I have died to sin. Jesus died to redeem me. Jesus died to free me from my sin. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, or may it never be. How can we who have died to sin live any longer therein?" You know, as we look at Romans chapter 6, and go ahead and turn your Bibles there, we'll be referencing the verses in that chapter for a few moments. It begins with that, as we look at Romans chapter 6, and verses 3 through 14, as we continue on from that point, we see that it is in baptism that we unite. That we unite with Christ in His death. That we unite with Christ in His resurrection. In verses 6 through 7, Paul says, "Our old self was crucified with Him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin." See, our cross is it's a death. And death means nothing more than separation. It is our separation. We do away with, or we separate from our life, or our body, or our mindset of sin. And this frees us from the bond of sin. And it means that we're no longer tied to it. We no longer receive direction for our lives from sin. Our direction now comes from righteousness in God. That we've left that, we're separated from it. And now we're living or attached to the God of heaven. Verses 10 through 11, he says, "The death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." See, Jesus died once so that we could live. Jesus died because of our sins, but he was resurrected to life eternal and is at the right hand of the throne of God. We too, just like him, even when we think about the comparison to baptism, we die there and are buried, having already, before we enter into that water, repented, right? Decided, I don't want to be a part of that sinful life anymore. I want to turn away from that. I want to separate from it. That's repentance. The decision to separate. To die. And we're buried there, leaving our sins and that old man of sin there in that watery grave, having Jesus' blood washing away from us. To what? To rise. Not to rise to be dead, but to rise to live, just as Jesus Christ rose from the dead, glorified. We too rise glorified and sinless as Jesus Christ did. There can be no glorious resurrection, my friends, until you die. You can't rise from the dead till you're dead. So you got to die. Verse 12 says, "Do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust." In this death, sin must leave my life. It's not just something I do and then I kind of just go on my merry way and continue to live like I've always lived. Sin has to go away. I have to be separated from it. The thought of sin, lust, cannot be in my life, my body, or my mind. If it is obeyed, if I let it remain there, it will be obeyed by my mortal body. If it is obeyed, then I have not died or separated myself from sin, and therefore I'm not alive in Christ. But instead, I'm dead to Christ. I'm separated from Him. So we make a choice of who do we want to be dead to? We're either going to be dead to sin or we're going to be dead to Christ, but you can't be alive in both. For you must separate yourself from one or the other. See, sin and Christ are mutually exclusive things. To be with one is to be separate or dead from the other. We must choose which one. Verse 13 says, "But present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." Romans chapter 12 tells us, in verse 1, tells us to present our lives a living sacrifice, right? Present our bodies a living sacrifice to God. Now that present yourselves, Paul uses that phraseology four times in the book of Romans. He likes that one when he says to present ourselves, to offer or to show or to literally give ourselves to something or to present or to show ourselves as something We see it in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. We see it here in verse 13 where he says, present yourselves to God in Romans chapter 6 and verse 13. Also in 6, in verse 16, it says, when we present ourselves to someone, we do so as slaves of obedience, either sin or righteousness. Notice that offering or presenting in that particular text, presenting ourselves is about what we do. It's about what we obey. What we obey is what reigns over our lives, according to verse 11. So see, it's not just saying I'm a Christian. That's not presenting yourself. Presenting yourself is how you live. It's what you do. It's how your life, whether it lines up with the devil or whether it lines up with God. Verse 19, Paul tells them again that they had done this presenting or offering of themselves to sin and righteousness. But he says, now, you've already presented your bodies to those things. Now, present your body to righteousness. Let your members be used for righteousness, not for sinful things. This was the decision to make. It is a decision that required repentance. A decision to change. If I am presented to Christ, I must do away with sin in my life. Remember verse 2? After asking, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound, that grace may just continue? He says, how can we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? The answer? We can't. Carrying my cross tells me what has been done for me. Carrying my cross tells me who I am. Carrying my cross tells me how I should live. Christ did not make atonement for me so that I could just anger Him again. Christ did not die for my sins so that I could just continue to live in them. Neither did He cleanse me so that I could return like a pig to the mud. Or as Peter says, like a dog to his vomit. Now we also need to understand, lastly this morning, carrying my cross is following Christ in self-denial. Without the cross, there is no Christ. Acts chapter 16, verse 21 says, from that time, Jesus began to show His disciples that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. It was morally necessary for Jesus to die. Notice how Matthew records that. Jesus was saying He must go to Jerusalem. It was a necessity. What it means for us to deny ourselves is very similar. You know, when Peter denied Christ, he disowned Him. He repudiated Him and turned his back on Him. And denying ourselves is very much like that. We must disown ourselves. We must repudiate ourselves. That's at the heart of being poor in spirit. Jesus began the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the poor in spirit, right? To understand that I'm bankrupt without Christ. I'm nothing. I have nothing. I have nothing to offer. Everything that I am, as Paul said, everything I boast in, anything that's good, is Him. And has to do with Him. And without Him, I'm nothing. That's poor in spirit. That's understanding something. See, we have to deny ourselves. We have to repudiate ourselves. Turn our backs on ourselves. We renounce our right to go our own way. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. See, he's crucified, he died. Crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, because I'm dead. What I want is done. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Lives. Not dead to Him. He's living in me. Now, Jesus chose to deny Himself and follow the Father. He did this to accomplish what was necessary to be done, what Matthew said must be done. But yet what must happen in that particular case was not necessarily what Jesus wanted to happen, was it? Isn't that really where the rubber meets the road in our Christian lives? Where what I want comes in conflict with what God says? Isn't that where it gets really tough? Isn't that where we really show who we are? And yet that was the case while Jesus must go, and he was saying, I must go. There came points where it wasn't necessarily what he wanted or where he wanted to go. John chapter 6 and verse 38, Jesus says, For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Well, there's something implied in that statement that there were at times when Jesus had a will that was something different, but yet he always conformed his will to the will of the Father, didn't he? And we see that carried out to its fullest measure, the fullest measure of denial of self in the Garden of Gethsemane when he prays three times, Father, if it be possible, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Not my will. That's dying. Jesus died right there. Because at that moment, the cross was a certainty. The cross was assured. He died right there in self. Not my will, but your will be done. He stands up from that third time after being comforted, and he walks out to Judas and just carries out what he said. He died. And then he died. Jesus chose that. We have the same responsibility to deny self. And there may even be a need for us to have that same moment that Jesus had at the point of actually giving our lives. That's what we see in the book of Revelation. Sometimes we just make it, Be thou faithful unto death, like it's just, till you die. And that's true. I mean, you should be faithful till you die, however you die. Don't get me wrong, I'm not changing that. But there's also an implication in that text, be thou faithful unto death, to the point of death, willing to die. And when the choice was made, when a Roman soldier put that spear to their chest, Lord God or Lord Caesar, that at that moment, I'm sure their will was to live. But those that said, Lord Christ, were saying, not my will, but your will be done. So they died before they actually died. We have chosen a Lord to own us, to guide and direct us, to lead us. And we yield our will to His. And neither you nor I can be a disciple without a cross. We cannot be a disciple without denying self in order to follow our Master. Remember, Paul said that there's nothing about me that I boast about except Jesus Christ. There are the Galatians in chapter 6 and verse 14. Nothing about self. Everything worth boasting about in our lives must be as it relates to my total submission to Him. That makes my life glorious and wonderful and worth seeing. Makes me light. Makes me salt. Makes me truly beneficial to the people around me. Have you taken up your cross? Have you taken up your cross this morning to follow Jesus? If you have, does it remind you of all that Jesus suffered and did for you so that you can sit here this morning with eternal hope? I mean, do we take time out of our busy days to be still and to know God, be still and to know that the hope that I have within me came at a terrible price and it's a price I didn't pay? Or do we just go about our days and not think about Christ and what He did? Does it daily remind you that your life must be given to righteousness and not sin, or else you betray everything that Christ did for you? The writer of Hebrews would say in chapter 10 that to turn away from that which we know to be right is to literally stomp Jesus under our feet. To look at His blood dripping from His body on that cross and to consider it a dirty thing. And to do spite to the Spirit of God's grace. See, if I just continue to live in sin, I just have no care about what he did. And I keep asking for more blood. I keep asking for more grace. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Does that cross represent your death? The death of self so that Jesus can have sole control and authority of you. I hope it does. This morning you are unfathomably blessed to have received the opportunity that the death of Jesus Christ gives. The opportunity of undeserved grace. The opportunity to have what you didn't pay for. To have what you don't deserve. But yet God in all of His love and mercy and compassion gave it to you anyway. I've gotten a lot of things I don't deserve in this life. I know that. I understand that. Even if I set what Jesus Christ has given to me just in this physical life, I've gotten a lot of things I probably didn't deserve. But you add them all up, and everybody in this room and everybody in this world, and all that they've gotten they don't deserve don't even amount to what God gives to one person. And the goodness, and His compassion, His love, His salvation. It is the opportunity today to stop presenting your life a slave to sin, a slave to destruction, and instead present your life to righteousness as a living sacrifice, as Romans 12 says. It is the opportunity to put to death the self that has led you into a life of sin and spiritual death. See, it was my decisions that got me there, right? I just don't know what all I can be that proud of, because when I've made my own decisions, I just mess things up. How about you? Have you made good decisions? All have sinned to come short of the glory of God. Somewhere along the way you didn't. I've messed my life up. Jesus Christ made it right. He fixed it. He can fix yours. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how many times you've done it. Jesus Christ can fix it. He can make it right. He can give you eternal life. Have you taken your cross today? Have you taken it and went to follow Him? If not, why haven't you? And why wait? He died for you. Don't make Him wait another day. Come to Him. Pick up your cross. Die. And follow Him. Be His disciple. If you need to do that today, if being that or doing that today involves becoming a child of God, obeying the gospel, we don't pray that you'll do that. Believing in Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, deciding, I'm not going to live that way anymore. I'm going that way toward God. And do that. Confess Him as the Son of God. And be buried in baptism. Leaving that old man of sin there and rising to walk a new life, as Romans 6 also says. A new life in Him. A life of righteousness. This morning, if you're a child of God, maybe you have thought, well, I can just keep doing the things I want to do, whether they're right or wrong. I can keep doing them, and Jesus Christ will just keep forgiving me. God forbid, and He does. Do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies another day, as the Apostle Paul said. But give your life to Christ today by dying to self, seeking Christ who can forgive you of the sins you've committed, and go forth to be dead to sin, separated from it, to live in Christ, to do as He would have you to do. We can assist you this morning in that. We hope and pray that you will let us. Won't you come? As together we stand and as we sing.